we'll see if we can try to do some Yom Biyoma today, particularly about Yom Kippurim. So I was asked to give a shiur, I think Monday afternoon, as part of the Iyun, the whole Yom Iyun or something. So there, the title of the shiur is all the Inuyim or something related to Bisman Hazan, exactly. It's something to do with the Inuyim Yom Kippurim. So whatever we'll talk about then, we'll try not to talk about now, since everyone hopefully will be at that shiur. So talk about a little bit of a different aspect of Yom Kippur. What else is there to talk about? We talk about the Inuyim, what can we talk about? So we'll try to talk about the tefillos of Yom Kippur, some of the unique halachas of those tefillos that play out on Yom Kippur. Some of them are Yom Kippur per se, and many, many of them are actually halachas that they really apply the entire year. It's just that because of the way the structure of the days in Yom Kippur, some we end up in some complications in Hilchos Tefillah and some unique situations that arise. But many of them are really Hilchos Tefillah, really Sugyos Maseches Brachos that in theory apply the entire year. So we'll try to walk through a little bit some of the aspects, both that which is unique to Yom Kippur and that which is Kol Hashana. So when we begin talking about Hilchos Tefillah and Yom Kippur, we'll start with before Yom Kippur itself. And we'll start with some of the tefillos that are said actually before Yom Kippur. So one of the tefillos that is said before Yom Kippur by many people is the tefillah Zakah, that before Yom Kippur technically starts, and many people have a custom to come to shul early, and at least they try to come to shul as early as possible, and they try to say this long tefillah Zakah. What is the purpose of this tefillah? So there are many beautiful things in this tefillah, but halachically there are two important parts of the tefillah Zakah. So one of the important parts of the tefillah Zakah is that it has in it a Kabbalah Sayom. It means when we make a formal declaration that we will kabbal upon ourselves Kedushas Yom Kippur, all the Yisurim and Melach, etc. Why is that so important to say? Because there is a sugya in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes, but the Gemara derives from Sukkim that there's a mitzvah of Tesefes Yom Kippur. The Torah says that you have to observe Yom Kippur B'Tisha L'Chadosh Be'erev. So Tisha L'Chadosh Be'erev means the 10th. So why does the Torah couch in such a strange way by saying the 9th in the evening? If it's the 10th, it's the 10th. So why 9th in the evening? So the Gemara says, Mikan Shemosif Michol HaKadosh. From here we derive that you have to begin Yom Kippur a little bit early. So what does that mean to begin Yom Kippur early? So that's a big machlekes. Suppose some Mishnayim say that just means you have to refrain from the Yisurim early, but you don't have to actively do anything. You don't have to orally, you don't have to declare verbally anything. You just have to stop fasting, stop doing malach, stop everything, maybe Yod Yom. And other Mishnayim say, no, that you have to formally do something. What does a formal mean? A formal verbal declaration, the makabel upon yourself the Kedushas Hayom. So if you hold like the first group of Rishonim, then there's no need to say the Tefillah Zakah. Then you don't bother saying this whole Kabbalah Sayom, because as long as by that point, a few minutes before Yom Kippur starts, you're already not eating, you're already not drinking, you're ready to switch your shoes, you're already not doing Malach anymore, so you're being Makabel Yom Kippur. You don't need a formal declaration. But according to the other post, we say you need a formal declaration. So this would serve as the formal declaration. This would be a fulfillment of a mitzvah in the Torah. So we should try to be machmir mitzvah. Shabbat derais, Erev Kippur, you want to try to get all your mitzvahs. So you want to get the shittas in, even though shittas that machmir that insist on a formal declaration, we would try to have that. The truth is that there's a machlekes in Rishonim, but this mitzvah of the Sefes Yom Kippur applies to every Shabbos and every Yom Tov as well. The Braisa, that the Gemara quotes in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tasim and Aleph, quotes the mitzvah both for Yom Kippur as well as for Shabbos and Yom Tov, because it says in the end of the Pasuk, Tishvu du Shabbatchem. So whatever the mitzvah is in Erev Yom Kippur, it's the same mitzvah every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yom Kippur. So you connect the dots, according to this braisa, that Yom Kippur is just an example of any other Yom of Shabbos or Yom Tov. So then if you hold, like the machmirim, that you have to be makabel formally, Kedushas Hayom, every Yom Kippur, then you have to formally be makabel at every Erev Shabbos and every Yom Tov as well. Unless you hold like the Rambam. The Rambam holds that we don't pass like this braisa. The Rambam says that the Gra connected the dots of this Rambam. The Rambam doesn't spell it all out explicitly, but the Gra explains Shanshi to the Rambam that the Rambam holds that there's machlekes at the Rambam about whether this mitzvah spills over to other Shabbos or Yom Tov, because the pasuk is only by Yom Kippur. So the Rambam seems to say that it's only by Yom Kippur, and even by Yom Kippur, it's only by the Inuyim, it's not even by the Malachas. So according to the Rambam, you don't have to be careful about this the rest of the year, as long as you don't do Malacha. If the Shabbos actually starts, that's a problem, even going to the Rambam. But as long as you're careful about that, there's no need of having any Tosefes, any Kabbalah, maybe Yod Yom. So it's not clear whether we pass like this Rambam or not. So therefore, on a regular Erev Shabbos, a regular Erev Yom Tov, one should also draw Lechet Chilat with Makabbalah, maybe Yod Yom. You don't have to say Tefillah Zakah every Friday afternoon, you just have to make a quick Kabbalah Sayom. In Europe, it wasn't such a big problem because they used to always make Shabbos early. They would always be makabel. They would daven a little bit early. Then they would also have kabbal Shabbos. They wanted people to get home before it was too dark, so they would always start Shabbos a little bit early. So in Europe, they would get the mizmashir before shkia. So if you get the mizmashir before shkia, so by definition, you're having a kabbalah hayom yom. for us in the spring and the summertime, those who daven in the early minyan, so also don't have a problem. But the rest of the year, or those who daven in the summer at the late minyan is man, so then we always bump into his Mashiach already a few minutes after Shkia. So what are we relying on? So we're relying on the fact that either we're relying on the Rambam, that there is no mitzvah of Tosefis every Shabbos, or we're relying on those posts that say you don't need a formal Tosefis, you don't need a formal declaration. And those who don't want to rely on any of that, so they would make a formal declaration every Erev Shabbos. That's what many have to practice, that right before Shkia, right after they finish a Daven Shmoneh Esrei, so they look at the clock, hopefully it's not yet Shkia. So they would say, they make a formal Kabbalah in order to cover themselves on all bases. But again, that's there are grounds to be made. Some rely on the Rambam, some rely on you don't need a formal Kabbalah, but on Erev Yom Kippur, it's Kedat Rimachner, because Erev Yom Kippur, you don't have the Rambam anymore. Erev Yom Kippur, even the Rambam can see that there's a mitzvah of Tosefis. So according to those who say Tosefis requires a formal declaration, at least Erev Yom Kippur, everyone should be Machmer, preferably Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Divorce, but at least Erev Yom Kippur, everyone should be Machmer, either to say Tzvah Zakah, or if you're not saying Tzvah Zakah, then to say some kind of a formal Kabbalah on your own, whatever lotion you want to say. Another good reason to daven Tzvah Zakah is that Tzvah Zakah also has Vidui in it. Why is it so important to say Vidui? So it's important to say Vidui on Yom Kippur. So some Rishonim say that you're supposed to say Vidui before Yom Kippur also. Right before Yom Kippur starts, you're supposed to start the day off. As the day is about to begin, you should have throw in another Vidui for good luck. So the Tefillah Zakah throws in a Lashonus of Vidui. So that would be accomplished with that as well. So Tefillah Zakah is a good tefillah to say for many reasons. Halachically, it's good for two things. It accomplishes Tosefis, it accomplishes a Vidui, and again, everything should be done before Shkia. The next important thing that we have in terms of a Chostvila Yom Kippur is the saying of Kol Nidre. So Kol Nidre doesn't appear in the Gemara itself, it appears in the Gaonim. So there was we've spoken about this many times, there was a big machlekes in the Gaonim and the Rishonim, what the purpose of Kol Nidre is all about. We always think of Kol Nidre, you know, the beautiful chazan and starts off the day, and it's a very, you know, awesome trepidation, Kol Nidre, you know, there's nothing like Kol Nidre. But in terms of absolute pure halacha, it's not even clear what exactly Kol Nidre is trying to accomplish. So it has something to do with the Dharm, not everyone agrees to. It's just not sure what part of the Dharm it's addressing. So the Gaonim's opinion is that it's basically Hataras Nidharm. That we want to be careful, we don't want to go into Yom Kippurim with Nidharm. So apparently the Gaonim didn't do Hataras Nidharm Erev Hashanah like we do. So they wanted to make sure that all the Klai Yisrael chaps around Hataras Nidharm right before Yom Kippur. So the chazan would get up, and here have two people standing on the side, the rabbi, the president, whoever stands on the side, and they make a base dinner, and they mount the Nidharm for everybody. And that's what Kol Nidre is. That they mount everything, b'chul mischarat b'hon, and everyone's mischarat me'kara, and everyone's posel b'charat and shine, and we do Hataras Nidharm and mass for everybody. That was the meaning of the days of the Gaonim. So a lot of the Rishonim had a lot of problems with that. There were some technical halachic problems with that. Because at the minute used to be, they used to say Kol Nidre already was ready if the Shkia. So the problem is that you're not supposed to be Mat and Nidarim on Shabbos and Yontif unless it's the Tzorach Hayom. So some Rishonim defended the practice of the Gaonim by saying, it is the Tzorach Hayom. What's the Tzorach Hayom? The guy's tzitzit, the guy's shaking, and he has Nidarim and Yom Kippur. So even though he's not claiming on violating those Nidarim and Yom Kippur, so it's not like the classic Tzorach Hayom. The Mishnah says at the end of Shabbos that you're allowed to be Mat and Nidarim. Say a person takes a net, they're not going to eat any chicken. And now comes Friday night and serve him chicken. So the guy wants to eat chicken, so he has terrible charata that he ever took such a silly neder. So he's allowed to go to Beis Din right then and there on Friday night and be matir neder. Matir neder, l'tzorach Shabbos. But let's say the guy took a neder that he's not going to eat apple pie. And they're not serving apple pie that Shabbos, so it's not necessary to be matir neder. So then the bishop says, so ain't it the tir? You're not supposed to be matir neder. Either because that's like a yeshiva's Beis Din, or it's like a Dabar Dover, something like that. Some kind of Nisad the Rabbanon, being Matan Adam Shalom Tzorach Hayom. So when the person comes on Yom Kippur night to say Kol Nidre, he wants to be Matan Neder, is that called a Tzorach or not? So a lot of Rishonim said, that's not called a Tzorach. What's the big Tzorach? Shalom after Yom Kippur. Other Rishonim said, no, that's the Tzorach. Because the guy is Dafka shaking, he's tittering, he's afraid, he's going to have Nadarm on his conscience. So that's also called the Tzorach Hayom, and that would be Mutter. So then the post can head on, that if you want to make things even better, so say Kol Nidre before it gets dark. So say before Shkia. So that's what Amnini became. We push Kol Nidre up a little bit before Shkia, even though no one's going away in a rush. Even Kibbe, you can daven later. No one's going to sleep till finish daven till 9 o'clock. What was the big rush? So they're afraid you can say the Anim's Mirus and all the Shir HaYichud is going to take forever, so it'll take 5 minutes later. So what's the Rosh and Rav Yom Kippur Nistachon Nidri Rabbi Yod Yom? So the Poskim write, because the Tshinus of the Onim is that it's our Taras Tadarim, but we don't want to get involved in any shouts with Taras Tadarim Shlo Lutzorach HaYom. Therefore, it's better Lechet Chivut to say in Rabbi Yod Yom. Probably in the days ago, they probably didn't hold that way. They probably just said it on Yom Kippur itself, and they assumed that it was Lutzorach HaYom, and they weren't so worried about that. So Rabbi Natam thought that the whole thing was not correct. Rabbi Natam thought that the whole Kondidah of Chilei Ratzoi was all a mistake. It wasn't a Hataras Nadarim Bechlau, because the din is that you have to be Mefardis HaNeder. When you take, when you go for Hataras Nadarim, you can't just say, you come to the rabbis, come to the days and say, okay, I want to be Matir Neder. So when the rabbis ask you, so what was the Neder? I don't want to tell you. It's a secret. Secret. You have to tell what the Neder is. You have to explain why you took the Neder. So Rabbi Natan says, what kind of joke is this Kol Nidre? He says, Kol Nidre, yeah, all the Nidarm, all the Shulam, you have to spell out Parach Rabbi Nachanav with the Nidarm one. You can't do the Tars Nidarm like that. So Rabbi Natan said the whole thing wasn't true. The whole Kol Nidre is not a Tars Nidarm Mechalav. What would the Gaonim have responded to that? So the Rosh writes that, quotes that others who say, that the Gaonim would have responded that the only reason why you have to refer to Saned there is because Chazal were afraid that maybe a guy took a neder that he's not supposed to be mat. Let's say a guy took a neder that he's going to give $100 for tzedakah. So he wants to come to a Taras Adar. That's not a neder to be mat. You should give $100. It means he's supposed to be mat to the Darim when they interfere with the Vedas Hashem. But if the Darim enhance the Vedas Hashem, so we shouldn't be mat. Let's say a guy took a neder, a guy takes a neder that he's not going to smoke anymore. So if it comes to Bezdin, so Bezdin should not be mat to the neder. They should say, keep the neder. Could be a mushful carries a mitzvah anyway, so in shvul chal or shvul, it's also anyway to smoke, it's also not third to smoke, whatever it is. So if a guy takes a neder that is in the best interest of the halach for him to observe, so we're not going to be matter the neder. So therefore, Chazal said in Maseches Gittin, the Gemara says that tzorach v'aras at the neder, because otherwise the guy's going to come and try to trick us, and he's going to try to be matter the neder, he's not really supposed to be matter. So that's what some Rishonim say, that on Yom Kippur, we're not afraid of a guy pulling kuntzim on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The rest of the year, a guy's got to play games. He's going to patch around. But on Yom Kippur, everyone's trying to do the right thing. So a guy only wants to be mounted those Nadarim that are supposed to be mutter. That's the Lashon that we say in Atzar Sanam Rishonim, that we're really supposed to be Fardis HaNeder there. So the Ein Anim Vakash Atal also Nadarim She'ein Lahatir also. So Al Kain Yubenechki Gila Yisi Partim. So that's basically what the Rishonim say to defend the Shittas HaGonim. And every Yom Kippur, we trust everybody that we're only going to be mounted those Nadarim that are appropriate to be mounted. So every Kash that Rabbi Natam had against the guy, then yes, Shataritz, Rabbi Natam thought all the Tirutzim are not right. So what is Kol Nidre? Rabbi Natam also said Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre was said for hundreds of years before Rabbi Natam. So what Taka is Kol Nidre? It's not a Taras Nadarim. So Rabbi Natam said it's a whole different ballgame. It's based on the Gemara, the third pack of Nidarim, and the Gemara says that if a person wants to prevent Nidarim from being chal in the future, you could do that by being meisim adah. You make a statement for us a love that any Nidarim, any shvuos, anything, the zero, it's not a charum, it's kanum, whatever I'm going to say from here for the rest of the year, from here for eternity, whatever it is, all Nidarim should be batlam avot. That's called the mesiris adah. So then the Gemara's details about how, when the Mesirah Muslim Da works, does it always work? Only if you forget the Modah B'Shas. And that whole sugya in the third parak of Nadarim, that's like what we do on Erev Hashanah also. We also throw on a Modah at the end. So Rabbi Natan says that's what Kol Nidre is. Kol Nidre was never ever meant to be a Hataras Nadarim for the Nadarim of the past. It was a Mesirah Modah for the future. So that explains why I can be Mesirah Modah whatever I want. I don't have to be fired at anything. I'm Kol Nidre B'Choshua, whatever I want. I'm going to be Matir, I'm going to be Mesirah, that it shouldn't be Chal in the future. And you can do that even on Shabbos. It's not a Taras Nadarim. A Taras Nadarim is a Beis Din, a Maislach. So you shouldn't do that on Shabbos. You shouldn't do that in Yom Kippur. But a Mesiris Mogol is Heta Gomer on Shabbos. So therefore, Rabbi Natan says you can say Kol Nidre after Shkir also, Snishkefilch. The Mishnah Berurah writes that we have a minhag that even according to Rabbi Natan, it doesn't look right to do it on Shabbos. So we try to make Kol Nidre before Shkir also. But our not doing Kol Nidre after Shkir is really a Chumra Gabi Chumra Gabi Chumra. The Goyim themselves held you can even do it on Shabbos because it's Letzarech Hayom. And you don't even do it in Yom Kippur, and we don't even really hold like the Gemara. We probably hold like Rabbi Natan. That's Mekal Lahaba anyway. So the Chalal is not a problem. But after Bichin, Kach Nogu Yisrael. That's the meaning of Yisrael, is that Kol Nidre always precedes Shkia. At least the first of the Kol Nidre. We say it a few times over, but at least the first one should try to be done before Shkia. So because Rabbi Natan was so convinced that the original understanding of the Kol Nidre was not the correct one, that the Goyim, the Tshuvas, describe it as Ataras Nadarim. Rabbi Natan said that's not right, that it was never meant to be Ataras Nadarim, it was always meant to be a Mesiris Madal Haba. Therefore, Rabbi Natan changed the Nusach, and he said that if you look in the text of the Gaonim, so the text of the Kol Nidre is quoted by the Gaonim is, Miyom Kippurim She'avar Ad Yom Kippurim Zeh, which means anything I took from last year to this year. So Rabbi Natan crossed that line out, and he said, It's like Chavos Vadashim. And why does it exist? It's wrong. The Giyosa was wrong. The Tam said the correct Giyosa should be in Yom Kippurim Zeh Ad Yom Kippurim Haba. Not Yom Kippurim Sh'ovad Yom Zeh. It should be Ad Yom Kippurim Haba. Because that's the future tense. So that's the Dharma Al Shema Osir. So that's what our practice is. So our Nidik today, the last 800 years, as we follow Rav Tam's emendation of the text of Kol Nidre, and our Kol Nidre is more of a Mesirul Haba than it is in the Dharma in the past. There are some who want to be Yotzei the Golem, so they stuck into the Machzer. Yom Kippurim Sh'ovra Ad Yom Kippurim Zeh, or Yom Kippurim Zeh Ad Yom Kippurim Haba. So I think Ziyotzko quotes it in a bracket, quotes it in a foot, in a bracket, in a parenthesis. So he said, somebody quotes it. That's what has it, as a Yeshon. That's the Golem. So the Golem made it to be a bracket. So they made it to a bracket in the Ziyotzko. So but most people don't say that. Most people just say they're the newer text. They're the newer text. The text that's 900 years old instead of 1100 years old. We say Rabbi Natam Shita, because that's part of the Ikki Rabbi. We all cover ourselves on all bases Erev Hashanah anyway, because we have a minute. The Golem didn't do what we do in Erev Hashanah. Rabbi Natam didn't do what we do in Erev Hashanah. But the later minute became that we do everything in Erev Hashanah anyway. So that way we're covered in the Dharma of the past, and we do the Messiah of the Dharma for the future. And the Kol Nidre is for the guys who didn't come to Shul Erev Hashanah. So basically, for most of us, the Kol Nidre doesn't really mean all that much. Because whatever it is, Mamon of Shach, we already covered everything. We did our Tarsadar on Maaseh Rosh Hashanah. We did our Masiris Modar Rosh Hashanah. So we're good to go. So we don't really need to see. You want to come late this year? Come late. No, you can miss Kol Nidre. It's not the. Shh, don't say it on that. I didn't say that really. But our pure halacha, whatever Kol Nidre is, anyone who davened there Rosh Hashanah already covered themselves on all bases.
Why is there no Beis Din on every Yom Kippur?
There is. The Beis Din is the rabbi with the rabbi with the chazan and the president or whoever else is standing. You always have three people standing by Kol Nidre because you're supposed to have a Titus Tibur. You should really have two people standing by the chazan the entire Yom Kippur because the Titus Tibur is supposed to have Moshe Aaron Rechor, all the Rosh Hagiva. But people get tired, people get tired, so only the chazan stands. But when we start off Yom Kippur, so all shuls have two people flanking at the sides of the chazan. So the Rishonim write that is to be the basin. So they're the official basin to be matter in the Dharam. So then the Poskim says, so who's matter there during the Dharam? So the Poskim say, the whole tzibur is matter. So you have 5,000 members of the shul, they're all the basin. They're matter, the rabbi is there in the Dharam. So everyone's matter, everybody else in the Dharam, according to them.
But do they need specific das and kavanah?
I mean, nobody knows what's going on. I mean, everyone knows.
Tzibur
doesn't know what's going on. The rabbi doesn't know what's going on. The chazan, nobody knows what's going on. Only Rabbi Natan knew what's going on. Yeah. It's all Adas Hamachom, Adas Hakov. I don't know, what's going on in the dark, right? That's what happens. Okay. So whatever it's worth, it works. To some degree, it works. That's why all the Pesachim write that if a guy really, really took a nether, a guy bottom line took a nether, he's going to be another, he should go to a basin and get it done properly, he shouldn't rely on these. But these are for Echaber Yasm Shadis, and Rav Shem will be Michael over the dark because he went to Kohen, came to Kohen Nidre. But Kohen Nidre works to some effect. After Kol Nidre, so then we say a few psukim, and then we say Shachyanu. The Chazan says Shachyanu, everyone else says, either everyone says their own Shachyanu, everyone's Yotz, the Chazan Shachyanu, we say Shachyanu. Where does that come from? So that's a Gemara in the third paragraph of Masechet Erevin. Everything we do has bases in Gemara, as we shun. Nothing happens in Yom Kippur, just found in a vacuum. Everything, you just have to figure out what the Mokhav of everything is. So the Shachyanu that we recite, so that's that appears in the third paragraph of Erevin, where the Gemara actually raises the shail about this. Should we say Shachyanu on Yom Kippur or not? Or the same shah the Gemara says, should we say Shachyanu Rosh Hashanah? Because there's no real mitzvah sayom. It's when you say Shachyanu on Pesach night, so Shachyanu is on the mitzvah saseder. When you say Shachyanu on Sukkot, it's going on the mitzvah sukkah. You have, every once in a while, you have Yom Tovim, but don't really have a mitzvah to them. So Shavuos night, Shmini Atzeres night, but at least it's a moyed, it's a regel, it's a simple jalap, it's a something. Hashanah Yom Kippur, I'm not even sure that you say Shechen altogether on the Gemara says you do, because it's the Bam Yisman Luzman. So even though it's not a fullest sense of a Moed, it's not the absolute Chag in the absolute fullest sense, but since it's a Kedushas Hayom, a Bam Yisman Luzman, it only comes once a year Yom Kippur, so therefore you say Shechen on that as well. And then the Gemara says, since we do Paskin, we'll find the Gemara's Poshet the Shal, that we say Shechen on Yom Kippur night, so the Gemara says we should really say it on Lakosh Yayin, because the Chachila, we say Shechyanu on Kiddush, because that enhances the Shechyanu. But the Yevet, I feel Bashuk. We say Shechyanu, say a guy totally forgot to say Shechyanu. He remembers that a man was walking in the middle of the street, that he forgot to say Shechyanu. So he can say Shechyanu, I feel Bashuk, the Gemara says. But L'chadchila, you're supposed to say it on Kol Shel Yayin. So the Gemara says, we should say it on Kol Shel Yayin and Yom Kippur also. So the Gemara says, no, we have a problem, we can't do that. Why? Because we say it on Kol Shel Yayin, you can't just say a bracha on Kol Shel Yayin. You have to proceed with the Bar Piyagofen. some to pick up a cup of wine and say a bracha. That's not a kosher yain. You have to first with a burpee of rafa, and then you have to, once you say burpee of rafa, and you have to drink some of the wine also. So that's going to be a big pickle, because you're going to pick up the cup of wine, you're going to make burpee of rafa, make shechinah, and then do what? Then drink the wine. It's already Yom Kippur. How can you drink the wine? So the Gemara says, that's impossible. Why is that impossible? The Rishonim ask, why is that impossible? Why don't you just do Mibiyad Yom? Let's say the Shechianu a little bit early, before Yom Kippur actually starts, and have in mind that you're not Makabel Yom Kippur. You should have in mind, I'm saying Shechianu, and I'm not yet Makabel the Yom. So, So, the Rishonim ask Akasha, what's wrong? He goes, tell everyone to go up the shul a half hour early. Well, 15 minutes before Shkia, the Chaz will get up, will say Shechianu, then he'll make a burpee of Rabbi, say Shechianu, and drink the wine, and have in mind, he's not Makabel the Yom. Some Rishonim say we do that by women. Women do that. Women bench lech, and then have in mind not to makabel yom. So some Rishonim say you can't do that. Some Rishonim say you can't do that by benching lech. But we hold that the ikmik then you can, since not everyone agrees that we try lechetchil to avoid. It's not a good idea for women. Some women get into the habit. They bench lech on a regular Friday night, and then they get into the car. They go do whatever they want to do. They continue to go take a shower. You're not supposed to do that. Lechetchil, you're supposed to be makabel. Women are supposed to be makabel Shabbos and Yom Tov when they're once they bench lech. If there are extenuating circumstances, you're stuck, then you can. Usually Yom Kippur is extenuating circumstances. Very often, most women don't come to shul on a regular Friday night, regular Yom Tov night. But in Yom Kippur, all the women want to come to shul. Sometimes the women live far, far away from the shul. It's hard for them to walk both ways. So the post can make b'shas l'chak. And the woman, really, the older woman, have difficulty walking, so she can bench lech before she leaves. And she should have in mind not to be makabel Yom Tov. Then she can get into the car. But again, we save that for extenuating circumstances. It doesn't mean someone looks around the corner. Then, unless they're an older person, mamash can't walk. If someone can't walk, then we make it. So the post came right that the medim of mamurim, you could do something like a locus neighbors and have in mind not to be makabel. That's if you didn't say shechianu. If you said shechianu already, say you have to say shechianu kimav yom lasman hazeh. Just kidding, I'm not really makabel. The words lasman hazeh is an outright, it's an objective kabbalah, a belishim suffik. There's no way you can turn that back. So since every Shechiyot by definition is a Kabbalah Sayom, that's why the Gemara doesn't give that as an option. It's a raya from the Gemara that is not an option. You can't say Shechiyot or Kosh Yad and drink the wine, because once you say Shechiyot, then it's done. It's over. It's Kabbalah Sayom, Belishim Tzafik. So that's where the post can point out that those women who bench lech earlier in Erev Yom Kippur, then they get into the car to drive, so they have to be careful not to say Shechiyot. Most women say Shechiyot when they bench lech, but on Yom Kippur, they have to remember not to. And then they have to remember Dafka to be Yotze the Shechianu with the Shechianu of the Chazan, or they have to say it themselves in shul. Everyone's supposed to say Shechianu. Men and women are supposed to recite or be Yotze with Shemek Oin the Shechianu on Yom Kippur night. So women who say it when they bench left and then walk to shul, so that's great. Women who are driving to shul should not say it when they bench left, because once they say it, they can't get into the car. Then they should remember to say it in shul with the Chazan. A lot of people get confused with this. A lot of women end up saying Shechianu twice on Yom Kippur night. Why? It's a big michshol in a lot of the machzorim. I think the art scroll may have fixed this up in recent editions. It's a big michshol in the machzorim because it says in the machzor, Chazan and congregation recite Shechianu. But half the congregation already said Shechianu when they bench left a half hour ago. So what it should say is Chazan and members of congregation who have not yet said Shechianu, all right, well, the men, or maybe some of the women, should say Shechianu. Otherwise, Shvam Shebracha Batal. So you have to be careful. Everyone has to say Shechianu. One Shechianu per customer on per Yom Tov. So you're not supposed to say Shechianu twice. So the Gemara asks the question, why don't we make a barpia goffin and then say Shechianu, drink wine? Gemara says you can't do that. Once you say Shechianu, it's over. So he goes, what's the problem? Make a Shechianu and give the wine to a katan to drink. He's not fast. Wait, why not? So the Gemara says, and that's a problem. Mishum the asa l'seruche. It's a very, very poor chinuch. Because if you give it to a katan to drink, so you're going to do that this year, then the next year, the kid's going to turn 5 years old, 10, 12. When he turns 13, he's going to remember, oh, last year I remember the chazan gives me to drink the wine, so they're going to take a cup of wine, and no one's going to remember the kid's now bar mitzvah. He's going to end up drinking the wine. That's what I did last year. For the last 10 years, I've been drinking the wine. Little bitty does he know that he thought that that's part of the Yom Kippur service, that we drink wine on shul on Yom Kippur night. He didn't chop that last year he was bar mitzvah, now he is bar mitzvah. So therefore, the Gemara says it's just bad chinuch. It's a bad, bad model. Therefore, it's better not to take the wine altogether. So the Rishonim have a machlokes about how far that concern goes. Asa l'seruchei. So some Rishonim say that applies not just every year. It applies, let's say you have a bris on Yom Kippur. So it's also terrible chinuch. You make a bar peg often, you're going to make asher kiddush, and you're going to give a kid to drink. So next time you're going to think that you're allowed to drink at a bris on Yom Kippur. He's not going to chat. So other Rishonim say, what do you mean? That's not a kiddush. How often is there a bris in shul on Yom Kippur? Once every 20 years. So Ashul does that 15th Yom Kippur. We only had one out of 14. We had one year we had a bris on Yom Kippur. It's not the most common thing. So since you don't have it so often, the kid's not going to remember that 10 years ago he drank the wine. If you're going to make him drink the wine every single year, that's taka, a concern. So therefore, the shechiyonah, we have to do away with the kosher yayin. But the asher kiddush, we should say it on a cup of wine. And other Rishonim say, no, that's poor chinuch, it's a bad idea. So how do we pass it in that shayin? Listen, there are different minhagim in the Rishonim about this. So the Ramah has a pshara. The Ramah writes that we really, really want to make a bar piyag offer by a verse. We don't want to just move after on the bar piyag offer over the alien. We're nervous to give it to a katan. So what we do is, says the Ramah, we give it to a katan who's not going to be l'sruche. He will never, ever make the mistake. He's never going to remember. Why? He's 8 days old. So give it to the baby. So give it to the baby. Baby's not going to remember in 13. He's a very, very small baby. He's got a great memory. He's going to remember that he drank the wine of the bris and Yom Kippur. And then he's going to be nichshol 13 years later. That's ridiculous. So the Ramah writes, make a bar piyag offer, make the bracha shekidish, and give a little bit of the wine to the baby. We do that anyway. We give a little bit of wine on the pacifier to the baby. So give him a little bit of wine at that point. That's what the Ramah writes. So many Acharonim disagree with the Ramah. They say, that's mamash bracha vatala. He says, who's the bar piyag offer being mitzi? The bar piyag offer is going to be motzi the katan. If the katan is 10 years old, so I can be motzi. 8 years old. What is he answering, Rama? He knows what's going on. He's a gil chinuch. He's a very, very advanced child. He's not so advanced. He's 8 days old. So he's not being yaitzi with the bracha. It's mamash bracha levatala. So the Ramot tried to solve the problem of aslis ruche by creating a bracha levatala. So many achorim might not to follow this Ramot. So what did the Ramot hold? So the Ramot apparently held that the bracha bar piyag offer, when it comes together with the brichas mitzvah or with the brichas shabbach, like asher kiddush or asher kiddush, things of that nature, so then you could really make a bar piyag offer in and of itself. Just the fact that I have to make a bracha of kosher yayin, that's in and of itself, that's good enough. I can make the bracha. It's not a regular brichas in Nehemin. The din is a mevarach tzarech sheyitam, because otherwise it's a bizoyin to the kosher bracha. But to fulfill that din of a mevarach tzarech sheyitam, I can give it even to a little baby. It's not a birch zanenin that requires somebody to drink from. That bracha becomes transformed to be like a shtickle birch hamitzvah. There are some Rishonim who defend that practice. So the bottom line is different shuls have different practices. So when we had a bris in our shul, so we followed the Ramah. That's the minig in most Ashkenazi shuls. They follow this Ramah, even though it's a very shaky minig. They follow this minig that they make a bar piyag offer, they make a asher kiddush, and then they give it to the baby. So I remember they wanted to be mechaved me with the bracha of asher kiddush. So they wanted me to make the bar piyag offer. So as I finagled, they said, no, I'll name the baby someone else, the asher kiddush, whatever. We maneuvered it around, whatever it was. So I think the problem was is that they wanted to be mechaved. It was a strange situation. They wanted to be mechaved someone with asher kiddush, but they wanted to be mechaved somebody with asher kiddush, but the guy is very fumfy. He doesn't really speak Hebrew too well. So he didn't really, he was embarrassed that they had asher kiddush. So they wanted to give him the bar piyag offer and give somebody else the asher kiddush. So I thought that was very odd. I said the whole vort is that the bar piyag offer is like part of the asher kiddush. I said, you know what? The ma'aseh, we do this by sheva brachas. We give bar piyag offer to one guy under the chuppah, we give sheva brachas to the other people under the chuppah. So we're okay with that. But I thought in Yom Kippur to do it that way and then give it to the katan, relying on the fact that it's all one big bracha, I thought that was madna. So we had to find some other way to divide. I forgot it was 10 years ago. I forgot how we divided up the kibbutzim that way. It was a strange scenario. Anyway, but so we orbited up Meir, but we said Kol Nidre, we said Tzvon Zach, we said Kol Nidre, we had a Shechayon, we're good to go. Avi Meir, okay, Avi Meir. It's a pretty straightforward Meir. There's nothing so lomdish in the Meir. You have in Birchus Kriyashma and Kriyashma, and you have in Shemoneh Esrei. Then you have to say Vidui. So that the Gemara says in the end of Yuma, the Chazal Masachim, that you have to say Vidui on each of the tefillos of Yom Kippur. Why is it so important to say Vidui on Yom Kippur? Why Chazal Masachim, this whole long of Vidui on Yom Kippur? So there seems to be a machlokes in Rishonim. There's some Rishonim will learn that this is like the mitzvah Hayom. Every Yom Tov has its mitzvahs. The Sheikh Lulav on Sukkot, and you blow Shofar Shani, Matz on Pesach, and you say Vidui and Nechaz V'tshuva on Yom Kippur. That's what it says. The Fnashem Ditaru. You're supposed to retire yourself. You're supposed to be supposed to do an act of tshuva and vidui. That's a mitzvah sayyom of Yom Kippur. So the Rambam doesn't exactly sound the way Nechus Tshuva. The Rambam writes, it's unclear exactly what the Rambam's driving at, but there are some of them read the Rambam to mean that the reason why we say vidui and Yom Kippur, not because it's a mitzvah sayyom, is because it's simply an opportunity. means it's the Kates L'Slich L'Yisrael. Since it's the end of Eseres HaMetshuva, it's the last day, in Lo Achshav Ein Mitzrayim, it's the last day of Eseres HaMetshuva, and after Eseres HaMetshuva, we don't really know whether our tshuva is going to be Mekubelis. During Eseres HaMetshuva, we have Avtach, Adir Shashem Yimotzo, we learned yesterday in Avtaira, because Baruch Hu always accepts that tshuva during the Eseres HaMetshuva. So if the Rambam writes, you're foolish not to do tshuva. We said yesterday from Mitzvah, it's a slap in the face to the Rebbeinu Shalom not to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. But is it a mitzvah sayoyim? Is it? It's like lulav, it's like shofar, it's like matzah. It's not clear from the Rambam that there is a mitzvah sayom. It's one of the tayyib mitzvahs, it's the b'chayz b'tshuva on Yom Kippur. So whatever it is, whether it's a formal mitzvah sayom of lifter shel mitaru, or whether it's just common sense dictates to take advantage of the opportunity, l'maisa chazal mesaka, you have to do, you have to misvada in your tefillah. What's the nusach of the vidui? So the Gemara and Yuma quotes a lot of different minhagim. There are different nusachs. Everyone agrees you have to misvada. The Brisa quotes mispalav arvus b'shachris b'musaf u'mincha v'ilu. Everyone agrees you have to be misvada each of the tefillos. What the exact text of the vidui is, so it's totally been minhag hamakomis. So the Gemara had different minhagim. Mizman chazal there were different nusachs as to what the vidui is. And the Rambam writes that the minhag hamakubal is the following: Hashem the Bogadim, and he says v'chulei. Look what he writes in the end of the Siddur. So at the end of the Siddur, in the end of the Chatzfil, the Rambam gives you the text of the Siddur. So the Rambam quotes what the Nusach is. It's not the exact same as us. The Rambam has a Chet Shatol Fanecha, but he has a much, much shorter list. Because he had less Chatoim in the Rambam's day. So he has a very, very short version of the Achet. He has like, we have all the Aleph Beis, and we have two Aleph Beis, right? We have two per Aleph Beis, and then we have a few more at the end, and then we have Chatoim, and then we have 55 different Chatoim. Rambam has about 10 to 15 or so categories of Chet. So again, there was no formal Takana Sochom and what the words of the Vida are. The Takana was, you have to be Mizvand, and then it was left up to different communities, developed different Mizchos as to what the din is. It's the same by Machas, Bonas, and Shofers. There was never a formal Takana Sochom that you have to say this Pasuk, that Pasuk, the other Pasuk, the Gemara's Beferish, that the Takana was, you have to say Ten Sukkim. The Takana was, you have to end Melech HaKol Arts. This was a Nusach that was instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. What goes into the Ten Sukkim? So the different Minhagim, and we know there were, by the Yekis, they have a different set of psukim, and Tim and Nim have a different set of psukim. That's nothing wrong with that. There was never a formal takana, what the words of every single word of Malchus has to be. The takana was the structure, was the format, and then they were left up to different Hagi and Malchum to decide what to put it. If you come from an Ashkenazi family, you should daven Ashkenazi, you shouldn't daven Tim and Nim. If you come from a Yekesh family, you should daven with the Yekes daven, you don't daven with the Sfarim daven, you're a person to try to daven a few minhag avoysa. But in terms of the Ikra Din, so there were different minhagim. So the same is true by the Vidui, that the Nusach Vidui was different, was not a Gemara. The Gemara itself says there were different minhagim within different communities. And so a person davens Meirav, and after Meirav, the Shmoneh Esrei is over, then one says the Slichos. So Slichos on Yom Kippur night is a very, very strange Slichos, because it's pretty much identical to the Slichos we say every morning. It has the same exact Surah. Though for the women who don't, most women don't say Slichos at all, so for them, it's very hard for them to follow on Yom Kippur night. If you ever ask the women what's going on, Yom Kippur night, after Shmoneh Esrei, they know what's going on, because you jumped and you are back to Bayavors, and then Slachna, Alavonim, and you're back, they turn pages, flipping back and forth. And the old Machzorim say, go back to page 93, and you go back to page 95. And then one of the big chidush of Otskol is that they spell everything out. Otskol is written, Dabar Shavu Chol Nefesh. You don't have to know anything. You just follow what it says in the text. They walk you through every single thing. You don't have to flip a page. When I was a kid, the old Mazurim, you're flipping back in the Birnbaum. You go back to Bayavor, which was 47 pages before. You have to find, you have to page. Because in those days, they didn't have so much money for paper. So they had to save money on the paper. So anyway, so in Europe, that's, I think the Mazurim were printed that way. Ayin Liel. So for the women who don't say slichas, so the slichas gets confusing. For the men who say slichas, it's the same thing. It's the exact same slichas. You say, it starts with a ken of kevasin. It starts with shenet tefillah, the same as every morning. Okay, Ashrei got lost in the shuffle because we just finished Avni, so in Ashrei. So it starts with shenet tefillah, and then it has a couple of ken of kevasinus. Between each ken of kevasin, you chop around your gimel midas, and then it ends with a pisma, and then it goes with anenus and mishanus. It's mamash. Came out identical to the slichas of every single morning. The great chiddush of slichas on Leil Yom Kippur is the timing. What it said, in the first half of the night, something which is unheard of. How can you say slichas the first half of the night? That's the first sinan in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah says that slichas has to be said b'shmar saboiker. You have to say a dafka in the early part of the morning. And it's supposed to be said in the second half of the night, because in the Sifrei Kabbalah described that the first half of the night is the Zman of Din, and the second time of the night is the Zman of Rachamim. So So it's not right to say slichos at the time of din. You're supposed to say slichos for the time of rachamim. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, that's the zman of rotzo. So you're supposed to say slichos, what's called b'ashmaras ha'boker. So there are different opinions when ashmaras ha'boker ends. Some say ashmaras ha'boker ends at alos ha'shachar, and that's a toughie. And some say netzach hamis. So that's many people, myself, who go, no, why the mikilim? Sofik eish rotzo l'kula. So you can say slichos until even l'chachil, until netzach hamis. Netzach hamis today was almost 5 to 7. So you can say slichas at a relatively normal time. Those who are machmer, los hashachar, los hashachar today was 5:30 something. So you have to finish slichas before 5:30. That's very hard. So you have to say it right the night before. You have to say it after chatzos. But on Yom Kippur, so everybody says slichas. So no, wait, new chumer. You can't start slichas Yom Kippur night till 12:45. Nobody does that. Why? So the poskim say because on Leil Yom Kippur is kula rachamim. Even the first half of the night is midas rachamim. There is no midas adin Yom Kippur. Everything is midas rachamim. So we say slichas at a time when we would never have the audacity to say slichas in the first half of the night. But on Yom Kippur trumps everything. It trumps even midas adin. So it's mutal lechatchila, and that's what many Yisrael. Everybody says slichas at the same time. Mamish at even though it's the first half of the night, which is again normally not a time for slichas. So the davening then continues and finishes up pretty straight. Some have been hugging me afterwards of saying Shira Yichud, Shira Kavod, those kinds of things. Those who say it, it's beautiful. Those who whatever don't say it, so their meaning is not to say it. And the davening pretty much ends at that point. Davening continues the next morning. So we'll continue a little bit more. Okay, so we only knocked off one of the five tefillahs. So come to Shachris. So Shachris is also pretty straight forward. That we starts out with the Tzidur Zimmer and the Kriyashma and etc. Pretty normal. And a few odds and ends in terms of Birchas Kriyashma, but there were different minhagim whether to add in all the piyutim into Birchas Kriyashma. Same question Rosh Hashanah. We have loads and loads of piyutim that are printed in the Machzor. Some are printed in the regular Machzor, some are printed at the end of the Machzor. The community say extra piyutim. So there's a big machlokes that we shine in general about saying piyutim. And there was a specific issue about in the middle of Birchas Kriyashma. So many communities have the custom that they leave out all the piyutim in Birchas Kriyashma. I mean, say piyutim, that's a shat, that's habatzar, but to say piyutim in the middle of Birchas Kriyashma, many leave out. And others say them. So again, the yesh v'yesh, different argument about this. In the Shemoneh Esrei of Yom Kippur, so we continue the same kind of a thing that we say vidui, similar to what we did the night before Ma'ariv. And then we repeat the Vidur again. The Gemara says that Vidur is done twice to Shemoneh Esrei. The Yochid says it at the end of his tefillah, and the Chazan says it in the middle of the bracha, in the middle of the end of the bracha, in the middle of the middle bracha. So we say Vidur twice on Ishur Tefillahs. And then in the Rishonim described that we say Slichas in the middle of Shachris also. In the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, so then Chazan starts a whole long recitation of Slichas. The Rishonim described that there, once again, there are different minhagim. There's no written text exactly what you have to say. So different communities had different minhagim. Some said X amount of piyutim, some said Y amount of piyutim, some said this amount of gimel midas, etc. They keep on describing, the Rishonim described, that you're supposed to say slichas and shacharis. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim that you have to be careful when you say slichas and shacharis, not to go overboard. Because if you say a very, 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 very long slichas, there was some minhagim that had pages and pages, hundreds of slichas and shacharis, it's going to end up throwing off kilter in the whole Zman HaYom, because you're going to end up getting to Musaf when it's too late. What's too late for Musaf? So the too late for Musaf is that you're supposed to daven Musaf before the beginning of Zman Mincha. Because if you hit 6.5 hours, and hit a half hour after Chatzos, so that it's a year's Zman Mincha, so then the Ikra Din, you have to have Mincha before Musaf. That's the Gemara in the fourth Berachah Brachas, that if you forgot to daven Musaf, or you drayed around, you didn't have Musaf on time, and now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so Mincha comes before Musaf. Because Mincha is Tadir. So that would throw everybody off balance. So imagine if you... The rabbi would announce, oh, everyone's getting all ready for Hinani. And the rabbi says, no, wait, no Hinani. First we're waiting after Yon, first we're waiting after Mice, then after Yon, we'll daven Mincha. After Mincha, then we'll start Hinani, we'll daven Musaf. That's what the Gemara says. That if you're goofed and you wait around too long with Shacharis, and you ended up bumping into Zman Mincha, so then that's what you have to do. So the Rambam quotes that there were some who had the practice that you only do that as a Yochid. As a Tzibur, you would never do such a thing, because it's such a... If you are Yochid and you learn the Gemara in Brachas and you know that Tod Vishen Tod Vishen Tod Vishen, then we can let you daven Mincha before Musaf. Tell a whole Tzibur daven Mincha before Musaf, that's unheard of, the Rambam says, because it's going to be messed up the entire Tzibur. The Rambam quotes such an opinion. So that's where the Maisa, those shuls that end up draining around Shacharis and appeals and keep them Yiska stuff, and the rabbis drive that kind of stuff, and then they don't bump the Musaf till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I've never heard of a shul that daven Mincha before Musaf. So they daven Musaf before Mincha, they're relying on the Rambam. The Rambam says it's okay, but Tzibur, it's not the end of the world. But Lechet Chila, to Rishonim, right? You're not supposed to do that. L'chadchila is supposed to really, really time Shachris appropriately, that you don't end up delaying into the Zman Musaf too much. So that's what the Rishonim write. You should try to be makatzev tzlichas. You should try to say a shortened version. Don't say 45 piyutim. Don't say 25 piyutim. Remember, time to preach shul, should time appropriately that they have enough time to get the Musaf on time. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Uchaz Yom Kippurim, tov l'katzev tzlichas v'shacharis, not to delay too much. So that tov l'katzev turned into a tov hafsid, tov shelo lomar. So it became a non-existent. Most of the machzorim that were printed in Europe, so didn't even print the slichas altogether. Part of the reason why they didn't print the slichas because there were so many different minhagim with slichas to say, and we don't want to say all of them. So the machzorim said, so they didn't want to put anything in, so they just left it out. So that became the minhag that people stopped saying slichas legamrei. So the Rav was very opposed to that minhag. The Rav said that the original minhag in the Gaonim, the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, it's clear that everybody said slichas in Shacharis, and so in the last couple hundred years, somehow the slichas got lost in the shuffle. So the Rav said, we should be chadish minhag again, we should go back to what the correct minhag is and say slichas, let's say a shul and slichas. So that's what the Rav instituted in his shul, and then many of his talmidim picked up on this. This has become like prevalent in many of our communities. Just a show of hands, who daven in a shul where they say slichas in Shacharis, Musaf, and Mincha? What? So what?
In Yeshiva.
Who's daven here?
In Dhamahira.
Okay, who here? Who here doesn't daven here? Who here daven in a shul and they say? Okay, so. Okay, so half the people daven in my shul, so it's not. Anyway, anyone with any shaykhs to this,
also the Germans also.
The Yekis, absolutely the Yekis do it as well. So again, many shuls follow this, and many follow what the practice was for hundreds of years. Like HPH. So if you daven in a shul, it says slichas. Say slichas. Daven shul. Don't listen. Don't listen. It's not hacky. But it was an old practice to say slichas.
Was minhag to never say slichos in any of like the?
So that's the question. The minhag the Rav didn't like. So what ended up happening is that they stopped saying shachris and they stopped saying musaf, stopped saying minhag because they wrote the shachris. So all the slichos got lost in the shuffle. So the Rav didn't think that was correct. But again, if there are anoshim shleim and yireim, halo Jewish communities that didn't say slichos.
It's an error against them running too late. I mean, they skip other things in minhag too, many shuls.
Yeah, whatever. But anyway, so whatever the cheshbonos are. So again, there are great yeshivas and great mekumis Torah, great shuls, great rabbanim who do not say slichos during the tefillas, and there are others who want to be chadish and again, want to bring it back to what the minhag from the Rishonim was. Whatever. Within those minhagim that say it, so then again, it's not written in stone what to say. So you say different ones, different communities have different minhagim. So in our shul, we just took whatever the minhag in YU was, whatever the yeshiva was, and we just took their slichos. We literally took the slichos. One day, I just, 15 years ago, I went to Beis Medrash, went under the bima, I took one of the booklets of the slichos, brought the staples, made 100 copies of it, and brought it back, and sure, that became our minhag. So, copyright Yeshiva University. Who copyrights the slichas? The Rishonim made up the slichas. So no one has a copyright on the slichas. There's a famous comment to the Tour that he quotes that we've quoted this many times from the Rush. That the Tour writes that his father was the Rush, and his father was born in Germany. He was a Rav in Germany for many years. And then when they threw the Maharam in Wurttemberg, who was his Rebbe, into jail, because the Goyim were trying to extort money from the Jewish community, so the Maram was fighting on behalf of the Jews that they shouldn't have to pay all the Gnevish money that the government wanted, so they threw the Maram into jail. So that's the famous story. The Maram didn't want to be ransomed. The community wanted to ransom him, and the Maram said he doesn't want to be ransomed because they'll ransom him so the Goyim can get all the money, and then what they'll do, then they'll take him in jail again, then they'll go after another rabbi, so they'll get all the money, so that's going to defeat the whole purpose. So he said, he was an older man, and he said, he'll die in jail. I'm trying, kaha, I'm dying in jail because of that. Again, I don't know too much about the history. I get the impression that it wasn't such, I mean, jail was never good. It wasn't like in a dungeon, you know. It was, there's a famous, they describe, but it was, he was writing tshuvas in the jail, so it was a different, he was under arrest, they didn't let him go free, but it wasn't his own house, he was in like the tower or something, of the church tachlis, wherever they put him, but it wasn't like, pekuch nefesh, mamish, anyway, but he was an older man, and he thought he was nifter in jail, and then the goyim wouldn't release his body either, because they wanted to get money, so eventually, it was, I think the way the story goes, it was actually some rich svardi, actually gave all the money eventually to the government. It was many years after he died, they finally got his body able to bury it properly. So I think this kever still in In Vermeis, I think in Worms. I think it's go to the Maram's cavern, I think. I don't know, I'm not sure about that. Anyway, so the Rosh realized that it's dangerous to be a rabbi in Germany those days, so he skipped out. He ran out of town in the middle of the night. He escaped, and he got away from Germany. He ran to Spain. That was the other big Jewish community at the time. So he comes to Spain. The Rosh needed a job. So the Rashba was the chief of the Rabban. He was the Rav of Barcelona. It was the huge Jewish community then. So the Rashba found the job for the Rosh. He made him the Rav in Toledo. Toledo was the other Jewish community. So the first rabbinic placement service. So the Rashba put the Rosh into a shtela. He became the Rav in Toledo. The problem was that it was Spain. Spain was all Spanish. Mamish Spanish. Real McCoy. Spanish. Mamish. Real. Like Spanish Portuguese. Like the real Spanish. Not the Adult Mizrach. The real McCoy. The original McCoy. So the Rosh was a Yekke. So he comes, he's the Rav in a Spanish shul. Everything is Sfarim and Hagim. So he writes every once in a while, he writes different things, different tidbits of things that he saw in Spain that he never saw before. Germany is trying to figure out what they're doing. So one of the things that bothered the Rosh was that they said very, very long Slichas and Shachos and Yom Kippur, and then you get the Musaf until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So he didn't know what to do about that. He felt very bad about it. On the other hand, he didn't want to make a machlokes. It was a new shul. They saved his life, you know, giving him a job. And he didn't think it was right to start making a machlokes. So the Torah writes about his father that the Rosh decided that he doesn't want to change the minhag of the shul. On the other hand, he doesn't want to daven shul like he did at the wrong time. So he davened b'chidus musaf b'yom kippur. Not like a mincha on a Tuesday afternoon once. A musaf b'yom kippur, davened b'chidus rather than start up with the baal bat. Then they make a machlokes in town. Godless, and he was the rabbi, and he didn't. And then I think the Torah writes he did it every year. It wasn't just the first year. Then he felt the other was saying they were saying their long sleeves. They had them in Hogan, they had their rabbanim, they were relying on from the past. He didn't want to make waves in the community. He was an isha shalom, so it's more important to dam yichidus. Godless of the hailing every year musaf yom kippur dam yichidus rather than make a fight with the balma. Anyway, so Baruch Hashem, most shuls don't have the problem. Most shuls aren't saying such long sleep. Most shuls try to get the musaf on time. So we get to musaf on Yom Kippur. So the musaf on Yom Kippur is like a regular musaf, but it also has the avoda in it. The avoda, the whole world in and of itself. So maybe we'll continue this on Monday. So we'll try to talk a little bit about Sunday. It's next Sunday, right? Okay, so maybe Sunday we'll try to talk a little bit more about Veld, and then we'll talk about some other things related to Musaf and then Mincha and Ila, so we'll try to finish up some of the Tefillah aspects of Yom Kippur on Sunday. Okay. So what time is she on Sunday? 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, okay. Theoretically, 12 o'clock. Okay. If there's any change, we'll let you know. Monday is also sure, no?